This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Right, welcome to another Kerry Dixon show with the great man himself and me, Stamford Chidge. And just a short reminder, of course, that this is done in association with the lovely people at ChelseaFan12.com, the home of the 12th man, the fan. And if you go to their website, you'll find lots of fantastic memorabilia, some stuff signed by Kerry, for example, and many of the current players as well. Lots of news and lots of videos as well, including, of course, every time we play at home, Chopper Harris and Gary Chivers do a short video piece about the game after every home game, as I said, in the Butcher's Hook pub. So follow them on Chelsea Fan 12. They're at Twitter, at Fan12Chelsea. As always, Kerry, great to speak to you again.
Yes, it's nice to be back, Dave. Had a week off at... for unforeseen circumstances, but nevertheless, it's always good to be back and looking forward to the chat.
Yeah, of course, you managed to swerve, having to talk about the Man United game, which I think everybody's quite grateful about. But sadly, we have to kick off today talking about the City match, which, you know, left a lot of people feeling pretty miserable, I have to say. And I think, you know, most of it was surrounding what was perceived as rather negative tactics, little ambition or fight about the side at all. Of course, Jamie Redknapp, never shy of trying to find a soundbite that people will listen to, called it a crime against football. It wasn't that bad, surely.
Well, look, I always say this, and it runs the risk of repeating yourself. If we win, it's a masterclass in tactical outmaneuvering the manager on their own patch and all the rest of it, you know. Because we lost... and, you know, it was the tactic that they tried to stifle the opposition and so on. Most people who watch Chelsea probably would have thought that's what they would have done anyway. I would have hazarded a guess at that sort of tactic. It's what Conte believes in, and how he believes his football is, and what he thinks with the players that he's got at his disposal. I'm not saying it's right. People are being paid or going to watch the games and they want to be entertained, and some people say, I want to win first, then be entertained. And some people say, I want to be entertained and I'd rather go down fighting, giving it our best shot. It all depends how you view the game and what you want. But basically, it's a results business. It was a poor performance against a team that was expected to win. Some people might say, well, we held them or so on. But if that is what it's all about, holding teams, Chelsea, then we haven't got something right somewhere. We are a top side. We should be able to go and play on our merits against anyone, which we've got some games coming up, which we'll have to prove we can do. One of them should be a home banker, and the other one a very difficult away trip. But never mind. It's a result of business. We lost. Poor performance. We should take the hammering that certain people choose to give out on the chin and move on to the next games as much as we can do.
I think, as always, Kerry, that's quite a measured response, and I think you're right. I think a lot of it is kind of down to, you know, what people want from their football. You know, having watched us not be successful for a long time, I don't mind, you know, a perceived negative approach if it means we get a result. And I think in many respects he was right to be cautious and see if, you know, a bit like a trial run for Barcelona in a way, similar kind of team they're playing against. Yeah. I think what grated with me, if anything, was the fact that, you know, the minute you go 1-0 down, then surely that game plan changes and then you have to go after it. So I couldn't understand why he didn't change anything. I mean, he didn't bring Giroud on until the 77th minute. And we just didn't seem to change the way we played at all. And that's what frustrated me, I think, more than anything else.
Yeah, I hear you. But the idea is he probably thought we were doing okay. And with a view to possibly getting it back, all right, you know, limited chances, limited shots on goal, limited attacks. But there was a threat, you know, on the breakaway and so on. But albeit not a great threat. City were a dominant team, for sure, because we allowed them to be. But I do agree with you. You know, it depends what you want out of it. Was it damage limitation? Some people were saying. And some people were saying, never try to leg. And you know, everyone's got their own idea on it. The only idea that really matters is Conte's and then the supporters who support the football club and the people within the football club and run it, etc. They're allowed to criticise or agree or whatever they want to do. Does he chase straight away and open the thing up? We could have gone 3 or 4 down. Then he'd have been hammered for that as well. I think he was on a loser come what may. We're away to City, by far and away the best team playing the best football and the best team in this country this season. And arguably, they could be the best team in Europe this season. Well, we'll soon find out. But nevertheless, it's how it's viewed. I won't jump on the manager's back because of that, you know. So we lost away at City. We lost away at United. Not acceptable, but it's a game that beforehand you would expect to lose, hope for a point, and love to get something out of it. Well, by that masterclass, which never happened. We don't expect to get anything in the Nou Camp, but we hope. But we do expect to beat Palace at home on Saturday. You know, we've already said on this show many a time, the league was lost not because of away at Manchester City or away at Manchester United. The league was lost because of Watford, Bournemouth, Crystal Palace, West Ham, etc. You know, that's where we're not in contention. Even though City are the best side, that's where the league was effectively lost.
Mate, I think that's absolutely spot on. And we have said that on the show, to our credit. And, you know, losing to City and United away was never going to decide the title or even, you know, whether we finish in the top four or not. And I think, you know, I can understand people's disappointments, but there is some perspective here. And, you know, other than that salient point, you know, we can still make the top four. We're still in the FA Cup and we're still in the Champions League at the moment. And I remember you asking me a while back now, just after Christmas, you know, well, you know, do you think it's a bad season or not? And you know, I said, well, it's too early to judge. And at the end of the day, you know, we can judge that if and when we, you know, go out of these competitions, and then we can reassess. But right now, I think you're right. I think some perspective is definitely needed. You know, just to pick up one other thing from the game. I mean, there was a lot of talk afterwards about how, you know, frustrated Hazard looked. I mean, he wasn't playing a false number nine. He was playing as a lone striker, which, you know, on the surface seems to be something of a waste of his talents. The thing that occurred to me, you know, I, not just what effect that might have on whether he might stay or not, but actually how that would make Giroud or Morata feel. You know, if you're playing somebody like Hazard in the main striker's role, something which I think he's ill-equipped to do, how would you feel as Giroud or Morata? I mean, how would you feel in their shoes?
It depends, once again, how they're viewing football in general in the modern era. As a player myself, I always wanted to win and I always wanted to play. And I'll be very disappointed if I was sat on the bench, especially in this situation. If he was a number nine or a mainline striker, and he's changed and reversed it and put three a wide player or an inside forward, if you like, as a main striker in what is perceived as your position, I think that I'd be very disappointed if I was either of them two strikers. I don't want to appear to be picking on Morata, but listen, if you ask me to judge the season so far, it's not going to be good enough when you look at our leading goal scorers. Effectively, Chelsea don't score enough goals. Mm. We're a team that our leading goal scorer, I think, is 15, 13 and 11, I think, something along them lines, with Hazard, Pedro, Morata as a three. You can correct me if I'm wrong. And you look at the teams at the top of the league, you've got Aguero, 30 goals, Harry Kane, 30 goals nearly. Romelu Lukaku apparently hasn't had a great season, but he's over 20, 25 goals. Mm. We don't get enough goals. And this was my big fear very early on in the season. You know, with Morata not coming with a goal-scoring pedigree, he comes as a striker who sat mainly on the bench, been injured, or for whatever reason, doesn't seem to get his quota. And that seems to be it again. So with the likes of Frank gone and with the likes of goals gone out the side, Diego Costa is starting to look a massive miss. And, you know, the goals that he brought to the table is not there. We hope for more, and I hope for more, but he's not there. And I'm not counting finishing the season with a flourish, although I'd love to. But the manager must have some doubts. You know, he's got his number nine and the substitute number nine, if you want to call Giroud that, sitting on the bench in a big game. So he must have doubts. You know, is he saying to them, I don't believe that you can do it? Or what's he saying?
Well, I think that's fascinating, mate, because I think, you know, you're absolutely spot on. You know, you don't win stuff if you don't have a striker who can bang 20-plus goals away a season, and we clearly don't. And on the other hand, he did actually pick our leading goal scorer in that position, which, of course, was Hazard, who's, as you said, he's got 15. So, yep. In a sense, I think that is definitely the message he might well be sending out. Let's hope it doesn't cost us at the end of the day. I mean, maybe that's the thing. Maybe we have got a better chance in the cup competitions because, you know, the nature of them means that you just have to win on the day, and a prolonged campaign, you know, throughout the season, if you don't have a striker who's going to bang the goals in, it is going to hurt you. And I think that's, in many respects, what's happened. Obviously, we've got Palace coming up on Saturday, tomorrow. I mean, given our position, given that we didn't manage to get anything out of the City in the United games, given that we're 5 points behind Spurs with games running out, this surely is a must win, isn't it?
Yeah, it's imperative we win, without a shadow of a doubt. And it's a game that, no disrespect, most people who played at Palace earlier on in the season will be thinking it's a chance to exact some sort of revenge and you know, and put to the sword a team that shouldn't have took the points it took off of us. You know, we really should be taking three and a comfortable three, and we should be looking at a maximum performance and not even thinking about, you know, all the excuses that some papers and people might come up with regarding one eye on Barcelona. You think about Palace now and get that game won, then you think about Barcelona after that. You know, he should pick his best side, what he thinks it is, and go out and win. And forget about the masterclass in the Nou Camp. He's got 3 days or 4 days to think about that afterwards. You know, get out and beat Palace first and go into the Nou Camp on the back of a victory.
Chidge.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chich, I'd be bereft. Inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great! But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Jidge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/ChelseaFancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Quite right. Well, I think, you know, it's interesting because Palace have been a bit of a bogey side for us recently. I'll go into that in a minute, because actually just talking about our chances of finishing in the top four. And again, you know, after the City game, there was a bit of a meltdown. A lot of people, oh, well, that's that. We're not going to do that. And I really don't agree. I mean, you know, it's not just the matches that we've got. And I've always said that we've got Spurs and Liverpool at home, you know, which are our main rivals for a top four spot. So we can take points off them. Clearly, we've got to win them. I get that. And they're decent teams. But, you know, we've got a chance to put the destiny in our own hands. But the other thing is, who are they all playing? And Spurs have got us on April the 1st. They've got Man City on April the 14th. United have got Liverpool this Saturday. City on the 7th of April. And Arsenal on the 29th of April. And Liverpool have got us, as well as Everton on the 8th of April. So they, all of our competitors have got tough matches coming ahead where they could quite happily drop points. You know, and there's no guarantee that you won't drop points against those that are fighting relegation. You know how this league works. So it's far from done and dusted in my book, Kerry.
I don't believe for one moment it's done and dusted. I've never seen a title, although Manchester City might be saying, well, we'll wait and see. But I've never seen a title given out at this stage of the year. And certainly in terms of a top four finish, I think it's intriguing. There are these games to come. And, you know, there's various games you can think back when we dented Tottenham's hope for the title a little while ago. And, you know, there's all sorts of games that could become key games towards the end of the season. We don't know which one it is, but you're quite right. We have to beat Spurs and Liverpool at home, that's for sure. That's just to claw back the 3 points on both of them. But we also have to continue to win our games against the likes of Palace. While these other teams play against each other. And while we play Palace tomorrow, Liverpool and Manchester United clash. So, you know, exactly. there's points going to be dropped there by one of them. So there's plenty of points to play for and plenty of points to be dropped and gained. We just really need to get our house in order. And we can't afford any more mishaps or whatever, for whatever reason, drop points against what are termed lesser clubs, and certainly not at home.
No, absolutely bang on. I mean, having said all that, of course, it won't be a pushover against Palace. As I said, they're a bit of a bogey team for us. We've actually lost our last two matches against them, which was the 2-1 at Palace in October, and we lost against them 2-1 at home in April, although at that stage the league was pretty much done and dusted, so perhaps they were already on the beach a bit there. But, I mean, the reality is we've actually lost four of our last eight games against Palace, who perennially are a team that are battling against relegation, which I find quite surprising, but there you go. And the other thing, of course, is Palace themselves were actually unlucky not to get a result against United on Monday. I mean, if it hadn't have been for that Matic last-minute worldie, they'd have at least got a point. So, you know, it won't be easy, will it?
No, I don't suppose it will be easy. You know, you don't compete in the Premier League and expect easy games anywhere. It's only easy once you've gone two or three, four up, and then, you know, and then you start, you can do a little bit of showboating or whatever you need to do. And knock the ball around, and so be it. But to get to that stage, it's not going to be easy. And, you know, we have to do it. We have to put the effort in right from the first minute, not start sloppy, not all sideways passing and keeping the ball and all this sort of stuff. We need to start and put pressure straight on the team, put them on the back foot straight away. I always believe that a start is so important in a game, rather than to try and contain teams and become sluggish and then try and turn it on. It just doesn't happen that way. If you start well, it invariably builds, and all of a sudden 20 minutes into the game you're having a good game, score a goal, all of a sudden it gets better and better. End of the game you might have a hat-trick and you've had a great game. And that should apply in every area of the pitch. I know I'm talking about a striker now, but it should apply every area of the pitch. Dominate your centre-forward, beat your winger, make sure you get tackles in. All of these things, we beat your immediate opponent, and you do it right from the start. And if we do that, you know, we've got to be a far superior side than Crystal Palace.
Absolutely. Okay, so talking of the strikers, do you think it'll be Giroud or Morata? We ask this every week, and it ends up being Morata invariably. Yeah. But, you know, what do you think?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, he obviously fancies Morata more than he does Giroud, because, you know, he's. You can see that by his team selection and his choice of substitutes and the order they've been put on in recent games. So, you know, he obviously fancies Morata more. And I actually think with the younger man and so on, I don't know what's been said to Giroud about coming to Chelsea and what is expected of him and so on. But certainly, Morata will be first choice and he'll be given the opportunity. But I have to say, I mean, even in his performances in the recent two games, still looking not 100% to me. I don't know what other people think. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. But I'm not going to hammer him because I think a lot is expected because of his price tag and so on. But I had my doubts early on and I can't help but say it. And he's not done an awful lot, in my opinion, to allay them fears.
Well, I'll be honest, Kerry, you know, you have been saying this from the beginning of the season, to be absolutely fair to you. And, of course, why should we be surprised? If anybody knows more about us than being a striker, I would put it down as you. So, you know, maybe we should have listened to you all along. Look, I think he's a good player, but I think he's struggling to come to terms with the Premier League. And I think the thing that's frustrating a lot of supporters is the fact that he hasn't got his head round the concept that you need to stay on your feet in the Premier League and you're not going to be given, you know, free kicks for a gentle nudge in the back. It's just not going to happen. And the sooner he gets his head right, I think, in that respect, then we might see a striker who undoubtedly has got a lot of talent. Listen, mate, another person that I think that it'll be important to see starting will be N'Golo Kante, because, of course, we really did miss him against City, I thought. You know, that ability to disrupt play and nick the ball and keep hold of it. And his energy, really, that was something we really missed there. And hopefully he'll be back on Saturday. And I think that will make a big difference to us.
Yeah, well, I know you're a huge fan. Yeah. You know, I remember earlier on in the season you were saying that, you know, he does make a difference. And, yes, he's a class player in the position he's in. And, yes, any class player or world class or whatever terminology you care to use, coming back into the side will be good. That's not to say that the likes of Drinkwater or any of them didn't do okay, because I thought they did. Did okay. But, you know, Kante coming back is a plus. And, you know, we're going to want all our best players available and we're going to need a good performance out of them. And then they've got to dust themselves down after that and get themselves ready to go again. And this is what's got to happen here and in to the end of the season. And, you know, we could still be talking about, what do people think of the season? What do you think so far? We could still be talking about, well, it wasn't a bad season. In fact, it was quite a good season. And it might even turn out to be a very good season. You know, we're not out of anything yet. And although having said that, the next 2 weeks will decide a certain amount.
Well, it will indeed. I mean, you know, the next week, obviously the league, we've got Barcelona away in the Champions League, and we've got Leicester coming up in the Cup. So it's a pretty crucial week. But one thing I've found out, you know, over the last few years following Chelsea, every week's a crucial week at Chelsea. I think, you know, it always is the way. I mean, I think that you and I are both quite confident that we should win this on Saturday, but the team have got to turn up, haven't they, really? It's as simple as that.
Yeah, they have got to turn up, and, you know, and like I say, there's no excuses. You go to the new camp, we're expected to get beat. We are. So anything there is a plus. Let's hope we can put in a performance and by some miracle, something happens for us. It's happened before. Who knows? And, you know, in football, you never write off anyone. Anything can happen. But we are seriously the underdog. You know, you don't go to the Nou Camp expecting to win. But we go to Leicester, then after that, thinking, well, this is our last chance for a trophy. Mm. If indeed that is the case, then it goes as expected to plan, or most people's plans, the next couple of games. It is crucial. I mean, some people are going to argue, oh, top four finish is more crucial. So it's what you want out of your season. It's what you want. Do you want to go to the FA Cup final? What's more crucial? As you've already said, every game's crucial. Yes, we want to go to the Cup final. Two more games to play at Wembley, or one to Wembley and so on. We've got a real good chance. Manchester City out of this. And the next set of clubs, and I'll include us in it, are all in the mix to see who's really second best. It doesn't really matter who finishes runners-up or who finishes sixth. Well, it does to the fifth and sixth place teams. But from what I've seen of the season so far, okay, Tottenham and Liverpool are finishing the stronger, it appears, at the moment, which can change. But I think the next five are all, on their day, capable of beating each other. And we've got as good a chance as anyone.
Yep, couldn't agree more with that. I mean, talking about Barcelona, because we should really, you know, cast an eye towards that as well, because obviously that'll be played out before you and I speak again next Thursday. It's going to be tough, there's no doubt about it. In fact, I don't think we've ever overturned. I mean, every time we have gone through against them when the away leg's been over there, you know, we've always, I think, been ahead. I mean, I know we lost when we were 3-1 up, but we've not done it before, so it is going to be really, really tough. But I still think we can do it, Kerry. I really do. I mean, they don't look the same Barcelona team that we used to play going back a while. You know, they have got older. They've lost a bit of pace, and I do feel you can get at them. But of course, as always, it's can we shut them out as well, which I think is going to give, you know, Conte another tactical dilemma. You know, will he do what he tried to do at Stamford Bridge? I have a suspicion that he probably will, actually. But what do you think?
Yes, I tend to agree with you. I don't, you know, you play with the players at your disposal and hope they produce, you know, world class performances in games like this. It's possible. Anything's possible.
Yeah.
You never know on the day. You never know a referee and performance are sending off a penalty, a poor decision. Anything could happen. You know, worldy goals, great players performing. Who knows? I've said it before, it can happen. We're not expected to win. You've said for all the reasons, sir, but it can happen. And that's what most Chelsea fans will be going there, and those sitting at home watching it on TV, and those not doing either will still hope that they can, by hook or crook, get through the tie and come out victorious. But, you know, the reality is it's not going to be that way. We had a good opportunity at home. The late goal effectively killed us to a degree. But I'm like you. You're an optimist, and we're an optimist. And, you know, football's a strange game. Everyone expected Spurs to go through. And Juventus pulled out a 2-1 victory away from home after drawing and looking the second best team both at home and certainly the first half at Wembley. So it can be done. And we've still got a bit of hope.
Well, and we've done it before. I mean, you know, and the last time we were out there, we did it before. I really don't see any reason why we can't. I really don't. I think that they are, you know, look, we've got to score goals against them, simple as that, but I think that we can. I don't think they're impregnable defensively, and I think that we're capable of scoring goals, so we shall see. I think you mentioned the referee, actually, and I think that's absolutely crucial, and it often is in these European games, as we've seen before, so hopefully he won't play a part in the game which doesn't help us. I mean, as I said, last time we went out there, of course, John Terry was sent off, so we don't need any of that either. But of course you can't, you know, there's no way we can predict what might happen with him, but one hopes we'll have a decent referee.
Yep, certainly the case. And I'm sure you tend to see that the best referees in the world, or certainly in Europe, are refereeing in these games. And, I fully expect, I don't know who it is, I don't know when they're appointed, it might be already appointed, I'm not sure. But nevertheless, I'm sure, and I, like you, hope that sending off Stoke Mar what should be an excellent occasion, and hopefully the best team will win, if indeed that be the case, but I hope we put in a performance, and I'm sure we will.
Well, I seem to remember some weird stat that says that Barcelona have only ever beaten us when we've been down to 10 men. They've never actually beaten us when we've still got 11 men on the pitch, so in a sense that kind of tells you how important the referees are. Well, look, either way, let's hope we do all right. And you and I mean, you know, we'll be convening again next Thursday, and that'll be fresh in our minds. Hopefully we'll have something to celebrate. Before that, I've got a couple of bits of pluggery to do, as they say, because before the Palace match on Saturday, of course, it's the 10th of March, which is the 113th anniversary of the founding of Chelsea Football Club. And to mark the occasion, the Chelsea Supporters Trust has organised a guided tour of Chelsea FC-related graves with club historian Rick Glanville, and then followed by a wreath laying at the Mears Family Memorial. Easy for me to say. And if anybody wants to pop along to that, it's you're all welcome. If you're not a member, we can sign you up on the day. But you need to meet at the Visitors Centre at 12:15, which is located near the West Brompton Station end of the cemetery. And before all of that, I kind of whispered this to Kerry the other day, actually, but Chelsea Fancast is debuting on Love Sport Radio tonight, which is a new London-based sports radio station. And we've got a slot every Friday for 2 hours between 7 and 9 o'clock. So it'll be a whole new edition of the Chelsea Fancast. Tonight there'll be me and Jonathan and Mark Worrell, and we'll be talking to Aaron Paul, who hosts it. The best thing about this particular show, unlike the other ones that we do, is that you can actually phone in and join in the conversation and have a debate with us live. And the number to call is 0207 702 0558, although it might be 0208. 07720550558. I should check that. Don't worry, I'll put it up on Twitter today. But anyway, the best thing to do is to just check them out on their website, which is lovesportradio.com. And you can find them on 558 AM or on the DAB digital channels. And as I said, you can find it on their website and then download all sorts of apps. So we'll be back on air, or me, Marco, and Jonathan will be at 7 o'clock tonight. And we'll try and get you on the phone sometime, Kerry. You up for that?
Well, you never know. I wish you and the lads good luck for tonight and good luck for the future on that show. And
well, thanks,
hopefully
Kerry.
It'll be a resounding success.
Well, let's hope so. I mean, thankfully, apparently they've told me that they've got what they call a dump button, which means if we say anything untoward, they can dump it. Let's hope they won't need it. Good job is they're doing it before the game, so we won't have too much to be cross about. But now it should be a giggle, but we've got all sorts of interesting things. As I said, we've got people phoning up, and I'll be doing interviews of people down the phone as well. So, you know, maybe we'll try and get you on before the end of the season. It's always lovely to talk to you, as it has been today. Enjoy your weekend. I know that you'll be there, so enjoy the game. And you and I will talk again next Thursday, and I'm thoroughly looking forward to it already. Thanks a lot, as always, mate.
Cheers, mate, and good luck for for everything you're participating in this weekend.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect! Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.